you go today, that would be appreciated. And yeah, I'll read this. I don't think I've ever presented the church vision until now. I kind of, some things you think, you know, that's kind of obvious, isn't it? But we always need to speak and quote the obvious. And I want to read this to us, and we need to understand this, what we're about. Why are we here? Why are we sitting here even now? Why are we part of the Way Family Church? Why do we come up here most Sundays? Here it is. The purpose of the Way Family Church is, together with other related churches, to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a relevant manner to every man, woman, and child in Peterborough. Is that big enough for us? We need the help of surrounding churches as well. That's why we need to have relationships. They aren't very good at the moment. Pray for that. First thing to pray for. But we need the help. When the harvest comes in, we're going to have to help. No, please come and help us. Other churches, and we need to have relationship. That's why we've got it there. Present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in a relevant manner to every man, woman, and child in Peterborough and the surrounding area and further afield. That's what it said in Acts 1 verse 8. Peterborough, Jerusalem, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
That's called a world vision. Look on the fields, for they're white under harvest. And that's only the beginning, because having done that, we need to provide a community, a relationship, a community, a family community, where everyone, those individuals, can grow and develop in ministry for the glory of God. If you have the notes for the prayer and fasting, there's still some available. Particular theme for prayer over this weekend, so today, I think tomorrow as well, that we really become more focused as a family, recognized as a family with those family relationships. We kind of, you know each other almost. That family will be formed even more. And in Ezekiel 37, it speaks about becoming an army by the operation of the Holy Spirit. There's the Word and the Spirit coming together. So we're an army. So those ministries will, in that family context, we can discover our ministries. And as we become an army, those ministries are released for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry I was a bit harsh earlier on. I might have said the right thing, but you can say the right thing in the wrong way. The Bible says speaking the truth in love, and I want to apologize to Liam, perhaps to Moez, if it was came across that way. Perhaps it wasn't spoken in love. I'm sorry about that. But I do believe that God is with us today. Amen. Amen. We want the Holy Spirit to move. We want the Holy Spirit to move. We want to be conscious if we grieve the Holy Ghost. And probably it's better to say sorry to the Holy Ghost when we haven't grieved him, rather than the other way around, without working out what that should be in terms of words. Amen. But we all have that heart. Lord, we want to see your presence. We want to see you move. And we might make mistakes, we might do some things that are wrong, but we'd rather go along that road than just go along the simple road that we know always works and just simplicity, and we never really reach out and trust God the Holy Ghost today. So I want to preach today, or introduce today. I hope that again we can believe in God to break through in the preaching as we are open. And I'm going to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We can draw several examples from the Bible, from the Word of God, of personal fasting. I think Moses mentioned Jesus' fast for 40 days. As far as we know, only once. There are several brothers. I've got a book by a man called Mahesh Yavda, which I kindly recommend the book. I think it's called The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. Mahesh Yavda, and I think he's Indian. I don't know if that's a reason or an excuse, but I think he's saying he's fasted for 40 days on at least, I think, 15 or maybe 20 occasions, you know, so not into, some are into that area. But there's several examples in the Bible of personal fasting where just individuals fasted for a need that they recognized, and also of people coming together, community, corporate, what we call corporate fasting. And sometimes those fasts was recognizing that God was about to do something new, a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. And in the Bible, those fresh moves of the Holy Spirit that we desire is often like, and the picture of it actually is a birth of a baby, God giving birth to something new of the Holy Spirit. And Jasmine and perhaps a few other ladies would be able to tell us that the time of birth is not an easy time. It's a time of travail. And there's a very significant verse that I've become very aware of in Isaiah chapter 35. And might even be 37 and verse 3, where the king says, this is what Hezekiah says, this day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the moment of birth and there's no strength to deliver them. That apparently can happen, that we can be on close to a move of God and miss it. I don't want to be there, do you? That's a day of disgrace. Day of disgrace for the church, but above all, if I were in that situation, I would mourn that for the rest of my days, perhaps to some degree in heaven. I want to see, every pastor wants to see a move of God, a fresh move of God. And every pastor, if he's called a pastor, knows that the move of God is going to start in the church that he's pastoring. He doesn't mind if it's last time in the row. But that's how it is. That's how we are. I think God has put us like that, made us like that. So at the end of the day, we say like Jacob did, God, we want your blessing. We will not let you go until you bless us. And there is this possibility that we can kind of come close to a move of God, but if we continue to live in a comfort zone, we can miss it. That God can move by, move past. I'm kind of sensing here where we're at as we have been, you know, our numbers have been increasing. We've seen so many younger people coming to join us, even if they're joining us outside. Bless them, Lord. Young man needs to get saved. Don't let him go before he's saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But we see that, we recognize we're on the verge. We need anyway God to do something fresh amongst us. So part of the motivation, significant part, most of it really, is recognizing that, wanting a move of God. And then this 10-day period between Ascension and Pentecost, next Sunday is Pentecost, kind of identifying with what God did on the day of Pentecost and say, yeah, that's a good day for you to move, Lord. And he's happy to move in any day. And of course, he will do in anything he wants, whenever he wants to do it. But I do thank God that the history of the church is that he loves to move on occasions like Pentecost. When we celebrate that, the same at Easter, when we celebrate his resurrection, when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the first time. Who knows? We need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many times it is, but we need it another time. We need a fresh move of the Holy Ghost. We need to be reinvigorated with the power and the anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And there's no time better than, well, today, actually. I won't put it off for a week. Whatever God wants to do today, and I know he wants to do something today, may we be open to everything that he wishes to do. So the motivation is like that. It was like that when Daniel prayed. That was an individual prayer. But he absolutely knew God was going to move. He believed the word of God. He believed the prophet. And the prophet had said, unusually, God is going to move this year. And so instead of sort of sitting on his armchair in the palace, he gets down on his knees and puts on sackcloth and ashes and begins to seek God for the move of God that would be bringing the people of God back from captivity into their inheritance. Amen. Who needs a move of God like that? Who's seen a move of God like that? God is going to renew his church. He's going to bring back into his church everything that's been lost and also add to it and afresh. That's worth fasting and praying for. That's what Daniel did. And then, of course, they fasted in Antioch. Great church and growing, and I'm not sure there was any issues. Probably there was, but issue was that same kind of recognition that God was about to do something new. And of course, what he did in that time, he said, I just want two of those men. He wanted the leading man of the church, the senior pastor, Barnabas. Separate for me Barnabas and separate for me Paul, the junior pastor. He was number 5 on the ministry team list. And Saul, for the work that I've called them. And the church was never the same after that period of fasting. Who believes that after this period, the church is never going to be the same? We're never going to be the same. We have to have faith. Otherwise, it's just a formality. Otherwise, it's just like a hunger strike or a diet or a slimming or whatever it is. But we have faith to believe the word of God. We have faith that without fasting, the effectual fervent praying of a righteous man availeth much. And faith, but with fasting, there are things that God gets shifted in this process that cannot perhaps be done any other way. So there's a sense of wanting God and expecting God to do something at a greater level. But then there's also the sense of conflict. And in the portion that I'll be looking at, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat called the people of God to fast and to pray because there was a conflict. They were being attacked by a large army coming against them. And for whatever reason, either he didn't have an army or he felt that the army wouldn't be able to succeed. He gave up any kind of military hope, trust in military endeavor, and he called the people to fast and to pray. So I'll just read through chapter 20. After chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, and read down to verse 4. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites came with some of the Meunites to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, amen. There's a man prayed for me to be delivered from my watch, but his prayers haven't been answered yet. If you want to pray along that line, please do. Some might want to pray in the opposite direction, but just pray however God leads, okay? So some men came and told Jehoshaphat, there's an army coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It's already in Hazazon-Tamar. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Praise God. Verse 11 says, as they all came together, see how they are attacking us. See, they're coming to drive us out. Verse 11 doesn't say that. It should do. Anyway, they all came together. Let's stick with what we know and what we read. They all came together at the temple. There's a great power in God's people coming together. Amen. We're going to pray today. It's great. Always remember a great leader in AOG, actually Keith Mundy, was living with us at the time or living in the city. He says, use your biggest meeting to pray. That's what we're going to do. We're going to seek God when we come together. Except that, you know, we're not used to coming together to pray. Sometimes we're not used to praying together. But we're going to pray together. In Acts chapter 4, they lifted up their voices together with one accord in one place. On the day of Pentecost, they were together in one place. And here we are together. And Jehoshaphat called the people of God together. It's good to come together with that motive in mind, whatever motive it might be, but to come together. There's power in coming together. Amen. We're coming together. We have several times for prayer, but if possible, of all things, it would be great to have this same congregation here on Wednesday night at 7:30. If you can't make that, amen, just be here. Because God sees it. God sees, looks the intent of our hearts and our seriousness. And according to our seriousness before him, according to our desires before him, might be nice to have revival when it comes because we can just enjoy church a bit more. You know, it's almost like revival is kind of just a luxury for charismatic Christians. If we need to have a heart. We talk about revival. It's about God saving the lost. If we have not got a heart for the lost to be saved, then we will not be present at a prayer meeting that's praying for revival. There'll be no tears shed. It said at one particular prayer meeting that used to happen in a previous church that, you know, irreverently every Sunday night, there were people, a pill was given, and sinners, unbelievers would come to Christ, except for one or two nights. And they said it always happened as long as there were tears on the floor in the prayer meeting. Because the Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap with joy. So we need to be concerned. God give us a concern. God give us a heart for the multitude, the entire community of Peterborough, that are outside of the kingdom of God. That we are prepared to believe that we are here today for such a time as this and to see them saved. Amen. We provide a community. And when this building is filled, then we just take them to St. John's. We take them to Open Doors. That's why we need relationships with other churches. So we come together. There's power in coming together. But also in verse 2, there were watchmen. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat. about the army that was coming. People saw it. And we need to have spiritual watchmen in the church. We need to have not only just people coming together to pray, but people who will pray at home and be watchmen, be people that can come to the pastor and say, this is what God has shown me. This is what we're doing. This is the spiritual part of what happened here. Jehoshaphat, he wouldn't have known what was happening until some people came and told them, there's an army coming against us. You need to do it. And Jehoshaphat immediately called that prayer and fasting because people warned him. I need to be warned. We need to be people of the Holy Spirit. We're talking today about becoming a family and then becoming an army. And the significant part of that army is the watchmen, the spies, if you like. The spies of the enemy, but also those that are watching on what God is doing. And thank God we need to be those that live in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, not just, we're Pentecostal because we turn up at the Way Church every Sunday. That's not what makes us Pentecostal. What makes us Pentecostal is being filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Overflowing with the Holy Ghost. Daily, being filled with the Holy Spirit and having dreams and visions and revelation. Praise the Lord. So Jehoshaphat was warned of that. There's an enemy coming against you. And actually it tells us who these enemies were. They were descendants of Ammon and the descendants of Moab. That's not Ammon that we know, but it's another Ammon. That was the children of Lot. They were kind of religious people. There were also people from Mount Seir. They were descendants of Esau. So kind of Israel has and has now, did have then many kinds of enemies. In fact, Israel is surrounded by enemies, as we know. And it was then. And it will be anyway. But when Jesus comes, they'll all be destroyed by the glory of his coming again. But there were enemies within and there were enemies without. And these kind of enemies, they weren't like the other nations, like Egyptians or Assyrians or those kind of nations. These were almost like the enemies within. They were the descendants. They were their relatives, if you like. They're from descendants of Esau, who was brother of Jacob. So, you know, that's almost like their people. And you could identify this, as Lee mentioned at the very beginning. They were like religious spirits within the church. And God actually, what is happening here is prayer and fasting for the church, the real Israel, to have authority and power that these religious spirits were driven out in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, in the last days there will be people with a form of religion, but they don't have it. And he says, have nothing to do with them. They're those kind of people that attach themselves to the church, attach themselves to the edges of a religious community or a Christian community. And they have a negative impact on the entirety. And prayer and fasting gives the church a victory over that. That was the kind of battle that Jehoshaphat was fighting on those occasions. Those were the kinds of enemies. And we wage war not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and religious spirits in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. This is how we fight our battles, you see. This is how we fight our battles. It's how Moses fought them. And it's how Jesus fought them. And it's how we fight them by lifting up our hands. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. And so Jehoshaphat called the fast. A corporate fast. Everybody was involved. They didn't say, I can't come today, I'm getting married. No. Joel said, no, I want that. You still have to come. You can't come today, I'm looking after the children. Still have to come. That was the heart of the fast. It always was in the scriptures, especially in the Old Testament. And we are involved in that to a degree. And thank God for his promises. Matthew 6 and verse 18 says that if we seek him, if we fast in the secret place, God will reward us. Thank God for the rewards. There are going to be physical rewards, but spiritual rewards. You know, the text that Judith has posted for this month, and it's only half of a text because all they can get in. But one we're familiar with, I guess, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is. And actually, that's the first part of it. That he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We haven't got there yet. Okay. Diligently seek him. And looking at that, what kind of struck me for the first time today was that word diligent. Why would I seek him, Lord? You know, just casually when I do, yeah, you know me, Lord. Am I diligent? Diligently. And if we do, we can be sure God is going to reward us. That's why I'm excited. That's what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're going to rejoice when the rewards come, but we're rejoicing today because God is going to reward us. Lives are going to be changed because we've been praying. Bondages are going to be broken in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. And so Jehoshaphat calls the people to pray, to families to stand together. Verse 5 to 13, I'll read that. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah, Jerusalem, at the temple of the Lord, in the front of the new courtyard, and said, Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built a sanctuary for your name, saying, if a calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears our name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade. That's because they were close relatives when they came from Egypt, so that they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession that you gave us. That's what religious spirits do. They're not just sitting there. They're not just, you know, in the comfort zone for themselves. They are trying to drive out the flesh, lust against the spirit. Yeah. Amen? So we have to ensure that the spirit wins in Jesus' name. And that was what was happening in this portion. And their prayer was to ensure that it was not the flesh that won. It was not the flesh that drove out the people of God from their inheritance, but the people entered into their inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? We have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Amen. Our eyes are on you. I'm sure the basis of that prayer was the verse that we often quote in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. The conditions of it, they suited the situation that the king was in. And God had said in the previous verse, when I shut up the heaven so that there is no rain, command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Amen. If my people call by my name. I suggest we just apply that in three areas today. That applies so many areas, but obviously to our nation, the nation of the United Kingdom, the place we are in at the moment. Some of us have seen pictures of King George VI, one of the predecessors of King Charles, calling the nation to prayer in 1940 outside Westminster Abbey, and a good chunk of London was outside Westminster Abbey. It was not the Archbishop of Canterbury that called them. It was the King of England that called this nation to prayer, recognizing however great the army was, there was really no hope in physical forces. And God, today, I don't think we're quite in the same place. We need to repent on behalf of our nation. We'll ask Tom to lead us and pray for the United Kingdom and where we are at as a nation. And we're all going to pray together. We can say amen to Tom's prayer. The most powerful word that you have is amen. Amen. And then we're going to apply that scripture to the Way Family Church. We have not been perfect by any means in leading this church, in what we should have done, and we need to turn away from our wicked ways, whatever they might be. God, you know, we could all give a list of what we think they could be. But God has a great plan and a purpose for us. We need to turn away. Fasting is recognizing it, saying, God, we're not wanting you. Show us, Lord, show us where we need to change. If we're not prepared to change, we're not going to change God. And if we're not prepared to change, then we're fasting in futility. So we open our hearts and we say, search us, try us, see if there's any wicked way in us. I'm going to ask Judith to pray on behalf of the way. And then we're going to pray for each other and over areas that we have. I'm sure we all have issues where we need breakthroughs. There are some here. I don't know if there's anybody that doesn't need a breakthrough in their family, either a financial one, or areas of salvation. And if there are any in that area, we can pray for you today. But first of all, can we all stand as we did? And we need a microphone. If someone can get a microphone, please, for Tom. Not Clyde Hill. Good, thank you. But let's all pray. Don't just wait. Just be open. Start praying now. Start praying now. Father, I pray for a spirit of grace and intercession for the United Kingdom today. Father, we are as we are. We blame politicians, Lord, but we should be blaming ourselves. We should be blaming the church. And now, Lord, I pray for your anointing to come on this congregation as Tom leads us now, praying for the United Kingdom today.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You've heard what David said. The enemy is attacking us. And this week, our illustrious Labour Party is diminishing the Christian faith. If you read the news and listen to what's saying, it's taking away our Christian right, which we've had for over 1,000 years. Our Christian democracy is going. And this is because of the devil. He may not get it one way, but he will wiggle his way to get it another. And he's trying to diminish what we have. And he's trying to take away our faith. That is why it's very important that we stand together. And that's why it's very important that we are full of the Holy Ghost. Because we'll never defeat the sneaky devil without the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay? We cannot be a divided army. We have to be unified in the Spirit of God. We need to be blessed. We need our faces shining as though we're coming down with the 10 tablets of stone, the mountain with Moses. That's the way I look to recognize us. Not miserable ones with a cloud above our heads, but one with the sunshine of God shining in our face. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just bring this nation to you this morning. You know, Lord, that this last week that they're trying to take away the Christian faith, no matter which denomination, they're trying to keep us quiet, they're trying to shut us in a cupboard and lock us away and throw away the key. But Lord, we will not allow this to happen because we are people of God. And we believe in the kingdom of God. Our faith is in Jesus. He did not die on that cross for nothing. He died on that cross for our salvation. And when God gives us the right to heaven, no matter what the devil will do, it will not fail. His mission will fail. His mission will fall down. We will rise. And we will be jubilant and we'll be joyous because our God reigns. Amen. So we just pray this morning, Lord, that no matter what is thrown against us, we will rise and we will soar like the eagle and we will fly above anything that the devil throws at us. The army of God will protect us. We will march forward in the name of Jesus. No matter what comes, nothing will prevail against us because we'll have the power of God behind us. We'll be anointed by the Holy Ghost. But most of all, we'll be united in the kingdom. Be united in the faith. United by the Holy Ghost. So Lord, we just bring the UK to this morning. We just pray now that the devil, no matter what he tries, is going to fail. And the Christian faith will rejoice. It will be jubilant. Oh, hallelujah. We just praise you, Lord. We believe that the devil is going to be trampled on. We will say, get behind me. Get behind me. You will not get in front. We will be powered by the Holy Ghost. We will be speaking in tongues. We'll be raising the dead, healing the sick. We will not need the NHS. It will be made redundant because we are people of God. So let's glorify this morning. Let's give our Heavenly Father the praise and adoration that He justly deserves. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pray for our nation. Just walking around the city centre yesterday, thank God for the Christian outreach that was there. But there was also some Muslims. The Muslims had a tent giving away free Qurans. And there was nobody that I could see giving away free Bibles. Why haven't we got a tent for people that will come there? Is anybody prepared? See me before you go home. I'm prepared. This is a dream. We want people, even if you join with somebody else, we just want people who just need to sit there. You don't just sit there and give Bibles away, give Christian literature away to keep people from Islam. What are we doing in the city centre? Thank God for the tremendous vocal outreach, but we need to do more. Amen for Jesus. Amen. Now Judah's going to lead us for the Way Family Church.
And of the honour and of the glory, and his name is Jesus, because he was the one that died. He was the one that bought us. And so often people arise and they think, oh, we should be doing this. Oh, we should be doing that. Oh, we should be doing that. And if we'd done what everybody wanted to do, we'd be going in 20 different directions. And that's not how the Church of God advances. They advance together. They advance in unity. They advance in oneness. They advance in likeness. They advance in standing together. They advance in encouraging each other. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning, thank you that you are the head. You are the head of this, is your church. And you are the only one that is to be lifted up. You are the only one that is to be worshipped. You are the only one that's to be glorified. And we want to do that as your people that are called by your name. We want you, Lord. We want your kingdom to come. We want your will to be done right here amongst us. And so as your word says, and as we've read it this morning, we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before you. We turn from our wicked ways. And we seek your beautiful face. Oh, that face of Jesus. Oh, those hands of Jesus. Oh, that voice of Jesus. Oh, we seek you, Lord. We seek you. We are so sorry. So sorry. So sorry that we've gone on our own agenda. But here we are this morning as your people, called by your name. What a privilege to be called by your name. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Oh, what a privilege. And yet we take it. Sometimes we take it. Sometimes we throw it away. Sometimes we put it in the bin. Sometimes we put it in a cupboard. Oh, Lord, we are sorry. I am sorry this morning. Oh, Lord, I turn from my wicked ways this morning and seek your face, because this is all about you. This is all about your kingdom. It's all about your plans and your purposes. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for each other this morning. We love each other this morning with the love of Jesus. I want to say I love you and I honor you and I bless you and I pray for you. I thank you, Lord, that you put us in a family. You put us together. And I pray more and more we will be bound together. We would be bound together, hallelujah, in the love of Jesus. Nothing can separate us, as your love cannot separate us. As you love us, as you put us in this family, nothing will separate us. So I pray for each other. I bless everybody in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're part of your kingdom in this vineyard, and we want to have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying in these days. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Do you love Jesus this morning?
Amen.
Do you love him?
Amen.
Do you love him?
Amen.
Do you love him?
Yes.
Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? Quite can't quite hear you. Do you love him?
Amen.
Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? Oh, my soul! Oh, longs for your presence! Oh, my soul longs for your courts! Oh, hallelujah! I love you, Jesus! I love you, hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Jesus! Thank you for this precious family. Hallelujah! We speak a blessing over them. We speak all your promises over them. We speak your love and your mercies and your protection over each one of them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Yeah, we pray for our nation. We pray for the way. We pray for our families. I'm sure you all have a personal family prayer list. Your children and financial issues and other issues affecting you. Healing issues, health issues. We agree together. And I believe through this week, we are praying for those as well, believing God that there will be situations resolved in our families. Yes. I know Janet and Gideon have situations need to be resolved with their family, and believing for God breakthrough in that situation today. And we're praying for each other in that, and we're believing together. And Father, for all those that have issues today, for family issues, for family salvations, Father, we believe you today as we seek you, that there will be change in the spiritual condition of our children and our grandchildren, even, and our husbands and wives, and our relationships, and sicknesses will go in the name of Jesus, and bondages will go, and health issues will go, and anything, Lord, affecting finances will go. Pray for a breakthrough, Lord, for Janet and Gideon,
yes,
in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Can be seated. We need a second bottle of water. It's because you've been either preaching too long, shouting too much, whatever. I was going to sing in the second bit, but I think better not. I think Lee better sing instead of me. You see, but part of the burden of Jehoshaphat was that he said at the conclusion of his prayer, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you."
Yeah.
And part of the theme of our praying for the church, really, is we want God to show us so many things that we could do, but what is upon God's heart for us to do at this time and this moment, and how can we best do that? And we have to realize that God's ways are not ours. So God is going to give us an answer to that. But it could be totally ridiculous. He could have said to Jehoshaphat, "Well, I want you to do," and he did in the end, by the way, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, "you're going to set this battle, you're not going to raise an army, you're going to send the worship team into battle."
Yes.
Is that a bit ridiculous? I think I would have rejected that. That's ridiculous. That's rubbish. I won't do that. But that's what he did. There was Gideon in a similar situation years before. He did have an army. I think he got an army together of 32,000 people, but he was fighting 140,000 people. And they were from the outside. They were Midianites. "What should I do, Lord?" And so what does God? "You've got too many men." Huh? "You've got too many. Send all the ones that are afraid home." And then he got to 10,000. "So now what do I do?" That's made it worse. "You've still got too many men." Who knows? God's ways are ridiculous. They sound futile. I'm just warning us now. God is going to show us what to do.
Yes.
It may seem very silly. Don't reject it. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." That's personal, and that's for the church as well. But we must expect the time will come when God will tell us to do something that is totally ridiculous. Amen. Promise the last words of Jesus I tested a few people on this. I thought they'd know, but they didn't know. Do we all know the last words of Jesus on earth? The last words that he told the disciples to do. Acts 1 and verse 8, or promised to them. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And they were waiting and praying for the Holy Ghost. And people have shared, you know, I wonder what they were imagining was going to happen. Somehow we're going to witness to everybody in the world when this Holy Spirit comes. But how? And what happens on the day of Pentecost? 120 speaking languages that they hadn't learned, and they are so overcome by the Holy Ghost, everybody thinks they're drunk. Does that make sense? Still doesn't make sense. Well, that's what God did. So we must expect the ways of God are not our ways. Praise the Lord. And then God gave Jehoshaphat a prophecy by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the outcome of that was that he would send the worship leaders into battle. And so verse 18 and verse 20. Well, I read verse 17. I'll read the prophecy, verse 17, conclusion of it. And we need the gifts of the Holy Ghost, especially prophecy. Believing next week we will have a clear prophetic word in the church, or before then, and we have to respond to it. We also have to carry it. Seek God for it. Covet earnestly the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially prophecy. And that was his word to Jehoshaphat was, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance that God will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow and the Lord will be with you. Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground. And then he commanded, after consulting the people, he appointed men to sing to the Lord and women to sing to the Lord and lead to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as he went out at the head of the army. But before he did, there were two people, there were two Levites that stood up and praised God in a loud voice. So we have two Levites here, and they are going to praise God together.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. So we're just going to read two different scriptures so that we can all praise God together. I will exalt you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
Amen. Amen. I'll read from Isaiah 12. In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you are angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Yeah. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Yeah. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Mm-hmm. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.
Amen. 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 And that, amen. Finally, the worshippers, the worship leaders led the people in praise and worship. And we're going to stand and we're going to give the high praises of God. And by doing that, we're believing principalities and powers are going to be defeated. You need to read the conclusion of the story, but they ended up with a civil war in the enemy camp, which is very, very rare. Usually it's the other way around, sadly. But on that occasion, there was a civil war in the enemy camp. How did that happen? Not by force of arms, not even by preaching. It happened through the high praises of God's people. And we are going to raise, the Bible calls them high praises. There's only one place, I think, in the Bible. It's Psalm 149, verse 6. Look it up later, promise me. Where it says the high praises of God. And it speaks about God's people destroying their enemies through the high praises of God. That's not just praise, it's high praise. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So that's what we're going to bring to God today.
It's a challenge, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus, for the new thing, Lord. Thank you for this season. You give life, you alert, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
you.